the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this Sunday of the Blind Man. And today's Gospel reveals to us something about this condition that we might say is spiritual blindness, and helps us to see things as they truly are. As the Kentuckian that we just sang this morning says, Having the eyes of my soul blinded, I come to thee, O Christ, like the man blind from birth, and with repentance I cry to thee, thou art the bright light of those in darkness. So, what does this really mean for us, that the eyes of our soul are blinded, as it says in the Kentuckian for today? Well, everyone here has the gift of sight, of physical sight, so we can see things in the visible material world. And we've all been educated, and so our minds can sort of see things, that is, understand rational and logical things. And we also feel many of life's emotions with our hearts, you know, love and joy and peace, as well as pain and sorrow sometimes. So in a way, our hearts can also see things of that sort. But what are the eyes of our soul? I mean, this is kind of a mysterious thing, you know, because most of us don't really see our souls and don't exactly know what that is. Well, there's an ancient Greek word, nous, which is spelled N-O-U-S, and it's used to describe these so-called eyes of the soul. This word nous appears a few dozen times in the Bible, and it's usually translated into English as either mind or understanding. And nous is a noun in that sense, but it has an adjective form, which is also called noetic, a term that's used by many Holy Fathers to describe the way in which we perceive or see higher spiritual things. So just as the soul of man is created by God, man's soul is both intelligent and noetic. St. Thalassios, who is a 7th century ascetic priest and abbot and a friend of St. Maximus the Confessor, once wrote, "The Lord has created intelligent and noetic beings with a capacity to receive the Spirit and to attain knowledge of himself. He has brought into existence the senses and sense objects to serve such beings." So, God has given us this gift of a higher faculty of our minds in which allows us to actually perceive God and that God is real. This is a wonderful gift because if it wasn't for that, you know, we'd have a tough time having any kind of faith or anything like that. Here's an example of where the word nous is used in the Gospels. This is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and we read about how after our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus, they went back to Jerusalem to rejoin the 11 apostles who were hiding together in the room behind locked doors and told them that they had seen the Lord. And then Jesus suddenly appeared to them, and at first they were frightened, thinking that he was a spirit. But he showed them his hands and his feet to show that he was not a spirit, but had risen from the dead. And then, here's where the word nous comes in, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So again, this in the Greek New Testament, this word understanding in English is the word nous, translated. In today's modern world, most of us have been trained to use our logical minds, you know, to understand everything, rational, logical minds. And however bright our minds might be, the rational mind is a limited faculty, especially when it comes to truly understanding things about the spiritual world. Some people today, who we might describe as realists, believe that seeing is believing. They have to see something with their physical eyes before they will believe. And yet, in last week's gospel about the Samaritan woman, when she asked about the place where God should be properly worshipped, Christ answers her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. However, God and his heavenly kingdom often seem invisible to us. Most of us do not see angels and demons walking around, nor do we see heavenly visions of paradise and the holy saints. And yet, for 2,000 years, the apostles and the saints did work miracles and did see the spiritual world just as clearly as we see our physical world every day. The Gospels give us eyewitness accounts of Christ's resurrection from the dead and his many miracles. And so, we accept these things on faith and believe to the best of our ability. But many people today do not really believe very much in the spiritual world. Even many modern-day Christians think the Bible is a nice story, but it's kind of like in the way that a fairy tale is a nice story and teaches us to be morally good. And some modern academic scholars dismiss the miracles that Christ worked, saying that these were just illusions and did not really happen. In one remarkable instance, when great martyr George was undergoing his trials for being a Christian, among other torments, he was buried in a pit filled with lime and emerged after 3 days completely unharmed. He was placed into a large sack filled with poisonous snakes and scorpions, and then was then cast into the sea. The sack floated to the shore, and St. George stepped out completely unharmed. And also many other miracles occurred during this period of time, so that roughly some 10,000 people witnessing all these miracles of St. George converted to the Christian faith. Finally, in frustration, the Roman governor who was overseeing St. George's martyric torments because he would not deny Christ challenged him to raise a man from the dead who had been buried in a tomb. And he said that if his God could do this, then he too would believe. To his amazement, St. George knelt down and prayed, and the dead man rose from the grave and walked out of the tomb. However, rather than accept this and believe in God, the governor instead immediately went insane and gave the order to behead St. George. So this is an example of spiritual blindness on a very large scale. In today's gospel, we see the same things. The stubborn Pharisees will not believe that the blind man was healed by Christ. They continually question him and his parents over and over until finally even the blind man can't take it anymore and scolds them for their disbelief. Rather than consider the overwhelming evidence before them and the eyewitness accounts, the Pharisees cast him out, thereby revealing their incredible spiritual blindness, sinfulness, and stubbornness. But having been obedient to Christ and having courageously acted as a faithful witness for Christ and having received an extraordinary healing, the formerly blind man encounters Christ again. St. Nikolai Velimirovich says that the blind man had known Christ as a wonder worker, and he had called him a prophet to the Pharisees because he did not know a greater name by which to call him. He was not yet able to call him the Son of God. But when Christ reveals to him who he is, he immediately cried out with joy, "Lord, I believe." And as his bodily eyes had earlier been opened so that he could see the physical world, now so were his spiritual eyes opened. And he looked with those spiritual eyes and saw before him the God-man, God in human flesh, and he worshipped him. So brothers and sisters, we have inherited the fullness of the Christian faith when we were baptized and chrismated into the Orthodox Church. And this is the greatest blessing and the highest honor that anyone can receive, to be members of Christ's body, his holy church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. And yet, we have a great and awesome responsibility to fulfill. We are called, as this blind man was, to be obedient to Christ in all things that he commands us. And we are called to be witnesses in a world that is drifting farther and farther from the truth, a world that is filled with faithlessness and unbelief. But to fulfill our holy calling as Christ's disciples, we too must turn to Christ and pray that he will heal us of the blindness of the eyes of our souls, so that we may see him, believe in him, and worship him. Christ is risen.
He is risen.